May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie, humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. 1119.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us to read from the Acts chapter 10. The Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the Tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, we do need thee now to draw near and to abide with us as we gather here this evening. Oh, may it be said as in thy word, it was noise that he, Jesus, was in the midst. Lord, how we long for thee to come at this evening hour and to abide with us each personally and as we gather collectively. And, O Lord, may we have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May we have that ear to hear what the dear Redeemer would speak. And may we have, Lord, that longing for thee to speak to us. We would pray with David of old, "Be not silent to me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." But, O Lord, thou hast said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And, O, we pray as we gather this evening that we might have that true hearing ear, that wise and receptive heart to hear what thou wilt speak. And who deliver us from all that's of the flesh and everything of our carnal minds. Deliver us from our many, many sins. Oh, we would be found at thy dear feet in humble confession, in humble repentance, begging and pleading for mercy. And, oh, may it please thee, dear Lord, to sweetly assure our souls that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us. Oh, may we have, Lord, that sweet seal of the Spirit, that it was for crimes that we have done thou didst suffer, bleed and die. Oh, do blot out all our sins and transgressions, and wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness, the fountain of thy precious blood. And, O Lord, how we need thee to do everything for us. For, Lord, thou knowest how poor and helpless we are, and we would be found dependent upon thee, leaning upon thee for all sufficient grace, resting in precious Jesus and in his finished work. And, oh, may we be led by faith to Calvary, to have a glimpse of those pierced hands and feet and side. And, oh, that thou wouldst whisper to each sin-sick soul, "All this was done for thee." Oh, do come, dear Lord, and remove all our doubts. And knowest the doubts and fears that arise in the hearts of thy children. We pray thou wilt draw near and grant to us a grain of living faith that we might truly believe. We pray for faith to look wholly to thee, that our eyes might look right on and our eyelids straight before us. And, oh, that thou wouldst help us, Lord, to lean upon thee for everything, to trust thee where we cannot trust thee. And, oh, we pray that thou wilt guide us in all the steps of providence, the steps of grace. And may we continually be led by thy blessed Holy Spirit. How often we have to pray, "Lord, thou knowest, lead me and teach me." And We pray that we may be taught of the Lord and blessed with that real religion that thou dost give to thy dear children. Oh, may we be found among them. May the hymn writer's desire be our fervent petition. With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. We pray, dear Lord, for thy dear people as they gather this evening. Lord, thou dost know each case, each one here, and each varied experience and what each one is walking through. And oh, we pray thou wilt come and suit thy word to every sinner's case. May those in deep need, Lord, have that need supplied. May they be enabled to say with the dear poet, and may we, and faith to believe it. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. And O Lord, thou knowest the inmost needs of our souls, how we need thee to reveal thyself to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. How we need thee, Lord, to speak thy word into our souls. And how we need thee to keep us down and yet to lift us up. Lord, thou knowest those that have many things to keep them down. We pray that thou wilt sanctify all thy dealings to us, and that thy name may be glorified in them all, and that our souls may be profited, the flesh be put in the dust, and Satan cast out. We seek for thee to bless the dear children, dear Lord. Remember those with us, and those are here this morning, and those near and dear to us each. May thy grace be wrought in them while in early days. May that precious word be fulfilled. It is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth, and that he both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Oh, do bless the Sabbath school and thy truth that is taught thee. And may it enter into the hearts of the dear young ones and abide there. And Lord, do raise up a seed that shall serve thee in a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And oh, that thou wouldst remember the dear parents and give them answers of peace to their prayers and their desires. And may it please thee to bless the dear young people, to help them in early days, Lord, to look to thee, to cast all their burdens and cares upon thee, and to leave them at thy dear feet. And may they see thy hand guiding them, directing them, upholding them, maintaining them, and abundantly blessing them. For thou hast promised that in blessing I will bless thee. And dear Lord, do guide them regarding a husband, regarding a wife, and provide for them, we pray, and suitable employment. Remember Nathan and Elizabeth as they are away at this time on honeymoon. We pray thou wilt be with them and others that have been joined together this week. And we pray earnestly, Lord, that they would undertake in all their time of need in the unknown way. And may they be abundantly blessed together. And Lord, we pray for any that are afflicted and many are laid aside, Lord, throughout our little denomination. We pray earnestly thou wilt send that healing if it's thy will. And Lord, who grant grace to bear the afflictions. And Lord, may these beds be made in each of the cases by thee. And may there be a blessing in it all. We would pray for those that are bereaved, thy dear servant at Car Shorten, as his dear father has been taken today, who comfort him and each one of the family and all that mourn throughout Zion. We pray for thee to work, dear Lord, and comfort thy people. For thou hast promised, I will not leave thee comfortless, I will come to you. And we would pray for all thy servants, that thou would anoint them and help them to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And oh, may there be real fruit following. May we not just beat the air this day or spend our strength for naught. But oh, may thy word enter some poor needy sinner's heart and be life and power to them. Remember those, Lord, in the evening time of life. We pray they may prove thy sweet promise that at evening time it shall be life. Who bless this corner of thy vineyard, we pray thou wilt constrain others to follow thee. May there yet be a moving of the waters once more, until in our own flock, Lord. Oh, that thou wast open the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And may all the hindrances thy people have be removed. And may they be enabled to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who help the deacons here and bless them. And bless the hymns they give out. And grant them a token for good in their own souls. Remember the nation in all its wickedness and sin. Oh, do turn us, Lord, from further falling away from thee and thy truth. Turn us to thyself. And oh, may there be yet many in authority and those in high office brought yet to fear thy holy name and to set a right example in the nation. And may we have yet men of grace and heavenly integrity and wisdom raised up to rule our land. And leave us not, Lord, to the will of our enemies. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. And oh, may we once again in this land prove the wonders God alone can do. And may it be so in each of our pathways, Lord. Remember any we may forget or leave out. Do appear for each one, and oh, do shine forth into each soul, that thy blessing may go forth, and may thy name be honoured and glorified. We would love and praise thee more for all thy mercies to us. Those mercies that are countless as the sand that daily I receive. Do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And oh, that thou wouldst come and abide with us. For it is toward evening, the day is far spent. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail. So we would ask it all in that all-prevailing name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. 762.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to John chapter 2 and the 5th verse. The Gospel according to John chapter 2 and verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The Gospel according to John chapter 2 and verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Have we, each of us, before God, the desire that the Lord would speak to us, like Jesus was to speak to these servants, to tell them exactly what they got to do? We often sing in the hymn, don't we, show me what I have to do, and every hour my strength renew. Well, we seek divine guidance and help as we venture with it again this evening. There is a blessed word in the book of Genesis which Pharaoh spoke to all the Egyptians in that time of great famine and trouble that's parallel with this word. And it's a beautiful word, and it came from the lips of Pharaoh. And it is this. Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. You know, Pharaoh was directing them to Joseph, who had everything in his hands to do for what they needed. And what a lesson there is to us in that, isn't it? Because the heavenly Joseph we would direct you to today, the Lord Jesus. Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. Well, the same applied then as at this marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. We name three vital things to consider this morning, and I would remind you of them again this evening. Firstly, to hear what the Lord has to speak. And what a mercy it is if he gives us the hearing ear to hear what the Lord will speak. We're told, aren't we, I mention it in prayer, that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We read of those whose ears were bored to the doorposts of God's house, listening for the Lord to speak. And it's so been with me as we venture here this evening. Oh, that we might be pleading and wrestling, Lord, do speak. Speak to my soul. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Samuel, that little lad, was enabled to say it, wasn't he? Speak, for thy servant heareth. David said, and I quoted it in prayer, be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. And what did Jesus himself say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So have you come this evening, have I, desiring the Lord would speak? You see, these servants needed the Saviour to speak to them, didn't they? And the dear Mother of Christ was the messenger. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And then think of the willingness of those servants to obey what the Saviour was to speak to them. We sing in one of the hymns, don't we? Thus make us willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. Are we willing? But then, oh, that blessed doing of what he has commanded, obedience to his mind and to his will. They had to do exactly what he said, and what was there in it? Profit. And may we be greatly concerned as we venture with it this evening. There might be that profit for our souls. Now I want to look at a few characters in the Word of God. We looked at a few this morning, but there are a few laid upon my heart to come with this evening. Let us tarry in the book of Genesis. Think first of all of dear Noah. What did the Lord say to him as he saw that great wickedness that there was throughout the universe? Make me an ark of gopher wood. And he gives to Noah in that seventh chapter of Genesis the clear instructions what to do. And look how the Lord made Noah willing to do what the Lord commanded him. And what was there to be in it? Wonderful prophet, because only he and those favoured few that were in that ark were to be saved. All the rest of mankind and the beasts of the earth and fowls of the air were to be destroyed by that great flood. The Lord showed Noah there was only one place of safety, and that's why he should build that ark. The safety was in the ark. And that ark was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. It's the place where sinners can rest. We sing in the hymn, don't we? In the ark the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove resting Christ. The ark of Christ. It was the only place of safety. We sing in another hymn, don't we? All my safety is in thee. Now, poor soul, are you willing? Am I like Noah? That all our hope may be fixed in the dear Redeemer. If you're building your eye on any other ground, we're on sinking sand. All those outside the ark perished, and so it will be all those that are outside of Christ. In him is everything the sinner needs. And you look how wonderfully Noah was enabled to obey the command of God, and the Lord made him willing. And look at the wonderful profit there was in it. And after the flood subsided, oh, how Noah could praise the Lord and build the altar, couldn't he, of praise and thanksgiving to his God for all that the Lord had done and how he'd made him willing and been obedient to the voice of the Lord and the profit there was in him. It's a wonderful case, isn't it? And oh, may it exercise us, each of us, that we may have the religion of that dear man. And all those years he was building it, he was a preacher of righteousness. Oh, he was. His light shone throughout the earth, amidst all the opposition of Satan, the ridicule of man. Nothing deterred him. He had to do it and be obedient. May we lay that to heart tonight. We think of dear Nehemiah and Ezra and those that are to build the wall. What did they say? We, his servants, will arise and build. And you look how the Lord made them willing. Amidst all the opposition from Sambalat and Tobiah and others, they heard the voice of the Lord. They were obedient to it. And they profited by it, didn't they? Both in their souls and regarding the building of the wall. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And then we would tarry in the book of Genesis. You know, some sacred records, isn't there, throughout those blessed Old Testament characters. This is a New Testament word, but they knew what it was to sweetly walk it out and to experience it. We think firstly of dear Abraham, when the Lord commanded him to offer up Isaac. This child of promise that he'd waited so many years for. And yet the Lord said to him, take thy son, thine only son, and offer him up as a sacrifice before God. And you look how willing the Lord made Abraham to obey that command. He was to do it. I may have mentioned it here before, but you know, I often think of that wonderful faith the Lord gave to him. When he said to his servants to tarry while Isaac and he were to go forward, he said to them, didn't he? I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. And you think of that, and yet the Lord had told him to offer him up. And how willing Abraham was. And he went up, you see. But he says, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. And come again. That was faith, you know, in gracious exercise, believing the Lord would provide. The Lord would appear. And we see in that wonderful case, just as Noah proved it concerning the ark, the beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. How, as he was to Take the knife, Abraham, and do as God had commanded. The Lord wonderfully showed him that ram caught in the thicket to be offered in the room, place, and stead of Isaac. And Abraham saw in that ram a beautiful type of Christ, the dear Redeemer, to be offered in the room, place, and stead of sinners. And oh, how the Lord, and you look in that case, it was such a profitable time, wasn't it? We read, don't we, of the Lord teaching his dear people to profit. And since this text came, it so rested on me. We looked at it a little this morning. The profit, you know, if you've got a company and a business, all your concern will be that it makes a profit. You work for that end. Not a godly husbandman won't work just to be rich, but he'll work to that end that it may prove profitable. And it will do if the Lord is with them. It'll profit. And think about it spiritually. In what the Lord commands, as he did here, these servants, there was to be that prophet. Now go back to Noah. Look at the wonderful prophet there was in it. And then look at it in the case of Abraham. There was to be prophet brought out of it all. There may not be any prophet for our flesh, and there won't be. But there will be prophet for our souls. Oh, there will. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, to come out of something profited by it. And you think of dear Abraham, oh, the profit there was in it to his soul, and the blessed revelation of the dear Redeemer, the Lord's wonderful deliverance of Isaac from the hand of that knife. It was the Lord made him willing. And then we can lead you just briefly further. We think too of Abraham's servant. When the servant was commissioned to go and seek a wife for Isaac. And you look how the Lord made that servant willing to go. He felt so unworthy, so unfit. It's like we looked at this morning in the case of Moses, how he felt so unfit to lead the children of Israel and felt to be of slower speech. But you look how the Lord made him willing to go. And how the Lord was to make the servant willing to obey the command, not just of Abraham, but of God's command. Abraham was the messenger. The message came from the Lord. And then, you see, the Lord does not work by halves. And when he works like he did in the servant, and he was to work in Rebecca. And look at her case, how the Lord made her willing to go with that dear servant back to Isaac. I often think of what the servant said when they wanted to, Laban and Bethuel wanted him to tarry 10 days and Rebecca at least 10 days. What did he say? Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. You know, it's a beautiful word. I tried to preach from that, a baptizing of a dear old lady of 77 back home a while ago, and you know, That's a beautiful word. You know, the Lord had wonderfully profited her in her soul over many years with divine blessings of heaven. And the Lord had brought her that great age and made her willing, you see, to declare what he had done. And I ventured with that word, hinder me not. That was the language I felt of her heart, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Well, what did they say, Laban, with her? We will call Rebecca and ask at her mouth. And what a question it was, wasn't it? Wilt thou go with this man? You know, that servant, he was a most gracious man, but far more than that, he was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And in each of these cases, you see, throughout the book of Genesis, we see a beautiful type of Christ set forth. Wilt thou go with this man? And what did she say? I will go. She was willing. And the Lord had made her willing. And what was there to be in it all? Profit, you see. For the servant, for Rebecca, for Isaac. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And oh, look at the willingness there was in dear Rebecca. I can't get away from these points, you see. They're so laid on me, and I don't know why, but there may be one here that needs this tonight, you see, or maybe in this morning. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Be obedient to the Lord, you see. Doesn't matter what man says, obedient to the Lord, doing what he commands. His commandments then become their blessed joys. Being obedient, willing to follow what he commands. And you look how the Lord wonderfully brought her to Isaac and the blessing that followed. In blessing I will bless thee. And this is what the Lord would do. But then we would go further. You go into the case of Jonah. The Lord commanded him to go to Nineveh and to preach the preaching that God had bid him. There may be one like Jonah tonight, and you know we're often like that, aren't we? And you see, Jonah had the command given by the Lord, preach the preaching that I bid thee. And oh, he looks at all the impossibilities and the commandment and immediately thinks, well, no, I'm going to get out of this. You know, see, it's so easy for our flesh to creep in. No, we'll be disobedient. And what does he do? He goes and gets the ticket for the ship to Tarshish and sets sail. And everything looked in his favour, didn't it? But he hadn't gone far before there rose that great tempest. In the sea, they strove hard to and get the ship to shore, but no. Jonah must be cast overboard. And as I said this morning, the Lord uses sometimes two means to make his people willing. Firstly, we notice the severe means of affliction, correction. Jonah must be corrected. He must be made willing to do what God had commanded him. Poor soul, don't take the ship to Tarshish. Let me just give you a personal note here. When I was invited to take the pastorate at Ashwell in 1972, while I was doing the probation period, I went to hear the late Mr. Sperling Tyler. Well, during that week, the Lord spoke this word to me prior to going to the house of God. This is the way, walk ye in it. It was a clear command. And you know, I went up on that Friday evening to hear the dear servant of God and begging of the Lord, if this was of the Lord and I'd not just thought it. The devil said, you've only thought of that. But I begged of the Lord that he would confirm it through the ministry. I didn't want to be like Jonah and take the ship to Tarshish if I was going to fight against God. But, you know, I went to the house of God that Friday evening. I should never forget it. And the dear man read that 30th chapter in Isaiah with it in. And the devil said to me after he'd read it, well, yes, but he had never preached from that word. This is the way, walk ye in it. And all the devil, all the time he was in prayer, roared he did and kicked at me and all the tossing. And if you got a thing that's real, poor soul, the devil will do all he can to overthrow it. And when he got up and took his text, he said, beloved friends, the Lord's given me this text. And he said, I feel there's one, if not more, here that need it. And then he named the text, this is the way, walk ye in it. And he used, you know, a simple illustration just before he sat down, which I've never forgot. He said he had a man in his congregation at the Deacon. The Lord told him on the Sabbath day exactly what he got to do in a matter of his work and in providence. The Lord made it absolutely clear to him. But on the Monday morning, this dear man, he thought, well, now I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to do what the Lord told me. So he got on his bike and started to ride down the road. And on this road where he was, there was a very steep hill. And at the bottom of it, there was an S-bend. And he rode down this hill and he reached for the brakes on the old bike. And they failed. And of course he went right into the ditch and rolled over and the bike went too. And he said when he got up, Mr. Tyler said, he didn't have to ask the reason why. He was going the wrong way. He said, so the message is tonight, this is the way, walk ye in it, and don't get on the old bike and go the wrong way. And you know, I've never forgot how he said it. So easy for us. You think of Jonah. He thought, well, he was doing God's service by getting in the ship. And everything went well, didn't it? Till the storm came. He had to be cast overboard. And he had to learn in that sea and in the fish's belly. He got to be obedient to the Lord's will. But where did it bring him? He was brought under severe correction and chastening of the Lord in that sea and in the fish's belly. And in it the Lord made him willing to go to Nineveh. But oh, what was the two in it? The Lord taught him some wonderful lessons in that fish's belly, you know. One was real repentance, which he got to preach in Nineveh. The second was he was to be led to the dear Redeemer. Wonderful thing, you know, when we're led to Christ. What did he say? From the belly of hell cried I. And what did he say? Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And who was that holy temple he was to look to? None other than the dear Lord Jesus. And then the fish vomited him out on dry land. And what could he say about it all? Salvation is of the Lord. And he'd had to learn that in the depths of the fish's belly in the sea. And he could well go and preach it to the city of Nineveh. So don't get on the old bike and go the wrong way. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, I just want to name two cases in the Acts of the Apostles that's helped. The first was Philip regarding going down to Gaza. You know how he'd preached in Samaria and the Lord had wonderfully blessed him there. But what did the Lord say to him? Arise and go unto the south, unto Gaza, which is desert. No doubt the dear man thought, well, what's the point of going to a desert? There'll never be any profit in going to a desert. But you see, he had to obey the command of the Lord, didn't he? Excuse me. Be obedient to what the Lord said. The Lord made him willing to go down there. And in going down there, there was to be profit, wasn't there? You each know the wonderful account of the eunuch. There he was, reading in the sacred prophecy of Isaiah 53 on the sufferings of the dear Redeemer. And what did the Spirit of God say to Philip? It's a wonderful word that is. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Just as clear as the commandment was, arise and go unto the south and to Gaza, which is desert. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. So a blessed word, you know. The chariot may be the house of God here, the church here. Go near and join thyself to it. And then it may be regarding a husband or regarding a wife seeking one, you young people, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It can be looked at in many other ways, which I'm timed this evening, but the point was this. He went into that chariot, and how he preached to that eunuch, a dear Redeemer. the dear Lord Jesus. Now look how the Lord, going back to what I said earlier, does not work by halves. He worked in Philip and he worked in the eunuch. Because as they journeyed, they came to a certain water. And what did the eunuch say? Now we don't read, and mark this, we don't read that Philip preached anything concerning baptism. But the Lord had laid it in the heart of the eunuch that this was the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And you see, they came to that certain water. You know, it's a wonderful thing. In the desert, the Lord had provided the water. They came to a certain water. It was no ordinary water. The Lord had provided it. It was a certain water. And then the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And what did Philip say to him? "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And what did he say? A sweet testimony, you know. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water. And he baptized him. What was there in it for Philip? Profit. Through his ministry. What was there in it for the eunuch? Blessed profit. Because he'd revealed, the Lord had revealed to the dear man a precious Jesus as his only hope. His only source of salvation. He teacheth thee to profit. The second I'd briefly name is this, what we read in that beautiful chapter, chapter 10 of the Acts. There again we see the Lord does not work by halves. He worked in Cornelius. And he worked in Peter. And how the Lord made dear Peter willing to obey the command and to go down to preach to that Gentile house a precious Christ. I love those words, you know. After the Lord had shown to Peter what that sheet meant that was let down from heaven. And then we read, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." It was a clear command to Peter, wasn't it? Arise and go with them, doubting nothing. For I've sent them. And maybe those of you tonight that have many doubts about this and that and something else, and the devil will work on all your doubts and all your fears. And the Lord was to remove it all from Peter and made him willing to go down and preach that dear Redeemer to the house of Cornelius. And you look how wonderfully the Lord blessed his ministry there. And the profit there was in it. Think of those beautiful words. "Can any man forbid water that these should be not be baptized as well as we?" And you know, no man could forbid them. He made them each willing to be obedient to his command. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Look how wonderfully Peter was made and willing to do it. and how those in Cornelius' house were made willing. Wonderful thing is when the Lord makes us willing, isn't it? You may say, but I've got all these hindrances. It's all my sin. I know exactly how you feel, child of God, because when the Lord spoke to me, those very words he spoke to the eunuch spoke, and it was back in 1963, and I've told you before, as I looked down in that stream, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, as I went to get the cows in for milking, I looked in the stream with this cow beside it. And the Lord said to me, "See as clear as from heaven, clear to my soul, in that open field, see, here is water. What doth hinder thee to be baptized?" And you know the power I shall never forget of that word. And I said, "Lord, but there's all these hindrances I've got. There's my sin, my unbelief, there's public prayer. However shall I speak to his dear people?" And my old nature listed all these hindrances. But you know, the Lord removed them all. I looked for them, and they were all gone. You know, the Lord can remove every hindrance, just like he did to Abraham's servant when he said, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way." And you know, I went back to the farm and I picked the word of God up. I said, "Lord, give me one more token and I'll go." You may say, "Well, perhaps you were dictating to the Lord," but I didn't feel I was then. But we need to be very careful. It's easy for us to dictate to it. But you know, I opened the Word of God, and I shall never forget it. It was just as apples of gold in pictures of silver across the page. It's all I saw was this word. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized by the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And you know, I was so melted by it all. How I milked those cows that Sunday, Saturday afternoon, I should never know. I didn't know whether I was in the earth or where I was. And I went to see the dear old deacon that night, you know. And when I knocked on his door, he opened it and he said this to me, "I've been waiting for you all day." You see, the Lord will prepare the house. So I think of that word, going back to Abraham's servant, when they said to the dear servant, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." May the Lord grant it today. I've scratched around the surface. Don't forget the text, if nothing else. The mother of the servant of the Saviour said this, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, to the servants, do it." Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £705, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening. with an address by Mr. Fields. Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Tim Barker is expected to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 324. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes will unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide. The Scripture assures us the Lord will provide. 324.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy word, we do beseech thee. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that provide. And oh, we pray thou wilt take us each into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.